Praise the Lord. A reading from the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 2, verses 1 to 20. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor in Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver a child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph, and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is the Messiah, the Lord." This is the word of the Lord. Praise the Lord, and happy Christmas to you all. Dear friends, today we are celebrating Christmas. We had been preparing during the last 4 weeks, 24 days exactly, meditating, reflecting, studying and praying with the Word of God, reflecting on the many prophecies. And all these prophecies are fulfilled in Jesus Christ, the Son of God who became the Son of Man, Son of David, born in the city of David. All the prophecies that we have analyzed and we have studied are fulfilled today. That's what we celebrate. God has made His promise and fulfilled the promises. And Jesus is the fulfillment of all those promises. Christmas is a celebration of the birth of a child. Christmas is a celebration of light. On December 25th, we celebrate the birth of Jesus, the Son of God, the Son that enlightens the whole world. It's a celebration of light. He said, "I am the light of the world." And to signify this celebration of the light, we are lighting candles, Christmas candles, for example. There is light everywhere. is a feast of light. Especially because we have darkness in our heart. Especially because there is darkness all around the world, there's a gloom. And in this darkness, we celebrate the birth of light. God is entering into this dark world at midnight, the thick of darkness, as light of the world. And to celebrate this, we light candles, we light all sorts of lights. And something about the Christmas celebration that we are making. We had been preparing ourselves, maybe by sending Christmas cards. That is one way of telling that I think of you. People who do not contact each other, not even by telephone call, may be sending a card. Maybe the only time in the year you contact by post, a Christmas card. Card, maybe with a dictum, maybe with a picture of Jesus or manger, child, whatever. But the Christmas card is a means of telling you, telling the dear ones that I think of you. I wish you well. I wish you a happy Christmas. I wish you peace and joy. I wish that you be happy, that you enjoy peace from God. Christmas card is a message of peace. And we are celebrating this peace because God has sent His message to us. God sent His Son as the Word. That's what John in his Gospel tells. The Word has become flesh. The beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and God has become flesh. So Jesus is the Word of God. Jesus is the ultimate, final, only Word addressed to us. So we can say Jesus born is a Christmas card. That's why usually we had the picture of the infant Jesus in the crib on the Christmas cards. So the tradition of sending cards is celebrating God's message, God's Word becoming flesh to dwell among us, to pitch His tent among us, the Christmas card. And on Christmas days, we see the infant Jesus placed in a manger, a crib. Very often, unfortunately, the manger has lost its sense. But what does the manger mean? We have read in Luke chapter 2, verse 7, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. The manger is a sign of an option. The manger tells us a lot of things. First thing, the manger is the trough where the hay or the straw is placed for the cattle to eat. It's an eating place. There is warmth in the straw. When it is cold in December, in Bethlehem, it can go below zero. When in this freezing cold, to keep the child warm, he is bound in swaddling clothes and laid in the manger, in the straw, to keep warm. But not only that. He is laid in the manger, the place where food is kept for the cattle. Bethlehem, the word itself means house of bread, Beit Lechem. So the one who is to become the bread of life is born in the city of bread and now is laid on a manger on the straw, symbolizing that he is the bread. Later on, he would say, I am the bread that has come down from heaven. I am the bread of life. So the manger points to the bread, food. God becomes our food. The one who eats of this bread will never die, the bread of eternal life. We have seen manna as a symbol of the one to come. And now he has come as bread in the manger. There is another point to it. He was laid in the manger because there was no place for him in the inn. There were crowds. And the parents of Jesus could not afford to go to an expensive inn. There was no place for him. This is also an identification, an option of God for the poor. The poor, the weak, the marginalized, the people who have nowhere to lay his head, nowhere to be born. So God, when comes down to humanity, he opts to be poor. Not with the rich in the palace, not in the temple, but outside the city, on the margins of the society. He is born where the cattle are kept, in the cave. So is God's option. And in this manger, anybody can come in. There is no guard keeping watch over the palace. Anybody can come in. So God identifies himself with the poor, the lowliest and the weakest, and welcoming everybody. So Christmas is a feast for all who want to come. So the manger. Now we see stars. In many places, many countries, we have the Christmas stars. Already by the end of November, they start hanging stars all over and selling. And the stars somehow present, give a mood of Christmas. And what is a star? The star is a prophecy, a fulfillment of a prophecy of Balaam we have already seen. A star coming up. The star points to the coming light. It's the morning star. The star is a pointer. It shows direction. For the seafarers in the ancient times, when there was no compass, no technical machineries, instruments, they were following the stars to keep direction. It is following the star the wise men came to Bethlehem looking for the Messiah. The star points to the Lord. The star in the nature, a sign, a symbol in the nature, pointing God, to God, where God becomes man. The star points to the life that is coming, the light that is coming. When the morning star comes up, we know that night is ending and the sun is coming. So the star at night shows the way to the Lord. Then you have the Christmas tree, for example. In many countries where there is practically no winter and the trees are always everywhere all the year through with a full of leaves, even they put some Christmas trees in the church and in the living rooms. But this tradition of the Christmas tree come from the lands where in the winter all the trees shed their leaves except a few. The pine trees that do not shed the leaves. So the tree in winter is a symbol. As a symbol of greenness, symbol of light, of life. When all the trees stand naked without leaves, this particular tree stands fresh with all leaves. A tree is rooted on the ground and raising its head up to God. The tree is a symbol of a rootedness and rising up, a relation between world, between the earth and between God. And this tree is presented as a Christmas tree, sign of life, sign of relation, uniting heaven and earth. Later on, there will be another tree. In the place of Christmas tree, there will be another tree planted on Calvary. A tree planted on Calvary on which the Messiah would be crucified, connecting heaven and earth and also each other, spreading out his hands, embracing the whole humanity. So the Christmas tree and the tree of the cross somehow are related to each other. The crib and the cross, as they are taken from the same wood. So the Christmas tree points to the Savior who raises us up to God. And the Christmas tree, we have gifts. Usually we have the tradition of exchanging gifts, especially for children, Christmas gifts and packets. And that is another symbol. Another religious symbol. We give gifts to those whom we love. And with these gifts, we tell them, you are precious to me. You are important to me. I love you. I care for you. And that's what we want to express through gifts. And what greater gift can God give than his own son? That's what we celebrate on the Christmas day. God loved the world so much that He gave His only Son. So we are celebrating this great gift of God by exchanging gifts. Another item for the Christmas celebration is cake, and we have the expression Christmas cakes. Of course, we eat cake on various occasions, but especially on Christmas. And there is a great business in many countries, many places. For all the bakeries, there is a full-time job, 24 hours working, preparing cakes. And people who never buy cakes in their lives may buy a cake for Christmas. Christmas cake also is another expression of joy and love. The sweetness, the taste, the sweet love. We give cakes as an expression of our great love. And God is giving us His love. The Son of God is the love of God, become incarnate. And to celebrate thus that love, we exchange these gifts of cake. And all these symbols have their meaning, religious value. And now let us ask, what does this Christmas mean for me today, celebrating this Christmas in this particular time? I think Christmas, first of all, tells us one thing, that we are not alone. I am not alone. God is with us. That was the promise, that was the prophecy, and that is the name that Jesus has taken. Immanuel, Immanuel, God with us. So on our ways, we are not lonely, we are not alone. You may be a person isolated, maybe a sick person, a person for whom there is nobody who cares. Maybe a sick, an isolated person, a person in despair. But don't forget, God is with you, with us. God incarnate is Immanuel. We are not alone. God is on our side. I will not abandon you. That's the promise. Right from the beginning in paradise till now, God promises, I will be with you. Do not be afraid. That's what the angel said. I bring you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day a Savior. To you is born, to each one of us, He is born. Not for the generality, not for the anonymous public, not for the crowd, for the individual. God cares for each one. He cares for you and for me personally. So that is the first message that Christmas gives us. We are not alone. Second, we are precious. In the eyes of God, we are precious. Maybe the society, the community, the world does not give much value to us. Maybe you may be not an important person. Nobody cares for you. You have no address. Maybe a person without an address to which a letter can be sent. A person totally unknown. A person may be rejected, dejected, somehow living in a slum, wherever it is. But as Isaiah had foretold in chapter 43, this is being fulfilled. Isaiah 43 verses 1 to 5. But now thus says the Lord, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in exchange for you, because you are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you. You are precious in my sight. That is the message God is telling us. You are precious to God. It is for you that God has sent His Son. Paul would say later on that even when we were enemies of God, when we were sinners, God sent His only Son. That only God can do that, and only God does it. When nobody treasures us, nobody gives a value to us, even in my own eyes, I may not be a person of value, but for God, I am precious. That's why He sent His only Son. And born not in a palace, not as a king, not as a powerful person, but as a weakling, a person without a house, a person under threat. Later on, we'll see that the very birth of this Messiah, Jesus, in Bethlehem, provoked fear, anxiety, terror in Jerusalem. And the life of the Messiah was threatened. He had to flee. He had to live as a refugee. So God has opted to come down to take upon Himself all our anxieties, worries, and problems because He loved us. Because we are precious to Him. We are created in His own image and likeness. That is the image and likeness of His Son. So we are precious. Don't forget that. Even when you think there is no more meaning in life, there is no way to continue, no purpose in life, don't forget that God is with you, that you are precious in His eyes. He has given you the soul. He has given you the Son, redeemed you. Now, the third aspect I would like to highlight, point out is He comes to us today. Christmas tells us that God comes to us. Not only 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem, He comes to us every day, day after day, in many ways. He comes to us through His Word. Anytime you take up the Bible and read the Word, God is coming to you. God is talking to you. When you pray, God comes to you. When you receive the sacraments, God is coming to you. When you receive the Eucharist in communion, this is Jesus. Take and eat. This is me, He said. This is my body. So He is coming to us in various ways. But He is coming to us also in another ways. Through our brothers and sisters, through the people who come to us. In many ways, many disguises. The first coming was not recognized by all. Only very few people recognized the child in the manger as the Savior of the world. Only a few shepherds were given the happiness, the joy, the blessing, the grace of recognizing the Messiah. And the wise men from the east, they saw the sign in heaven and they followed and they came to Bethlehem. When Jesus was brought to the temple, there were the officiating priests and the Levites and all the lawyers and scribes teaching and discussing and disputing. None of them could recognize the Redeemer they were waiting for in the child who was carried by this poor couple, bringing two turtle doves as an offering instead of a lamb, because they were poor. So in that poor child, only an old man, Simeon, and another old woman, Hannah, could recognize the Redeemer. So this is a tragedy that they could not recognize. Even today it could happen. He comes to us again and again in many ways. But sometimes we do not recognize. Because we expect the Messiah to come in glory, in pomp. Not as a poor man. Not as a beggar asking for our help. Not as a child abandoned in the slums. Not as a terrorist or a refugee. So many ways He approaches us. God comes to us today. If we have our eyes open, then we will recognize Him. Remember the Son of Man sitting in judgment and judging the humanity. The last day had said this in Matthew 25:31 and following. When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him and will separate people one from another, as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And He will put the sheep at His right hand and the goats on the left. Then the King will say to those at His right hand, "Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me," and so on. So God comes to us. Jesus comes to us day after day, not only in the sacraments, not only in the written word of God or the proclaimed message, but in concrete individuals asking for help. And there, our Christmas would be fruitful and peaceful and would bring us blessing if we recognize Him in the disguise in which He comes, in the sick beds. He comes as the unborn child, threatened today by abortion. He comes as the old, the crippled, the terminally ill, who are condemned by euthanasia, condemned to death. Can we see Him, Jesus, in all these instances? He identified Himself with the weakest and the lowest and the lowliest. And there, this Christmas would tell us that every individual human being, right from the moment of conception to the end of life, is Christ identified, Christ identifying Himself. So let us accept Him, recognize Him. The tragic contradiction is, very often we celebrate sending Christmas cards and cakes and making cribs and planting trees and forget the very child that comes to us, Jesus, in the disguise of those who are in need. So let this Christmas be an eye-opener, opening ourselves to our neighbors and see Jesus, the Lord God, in our neighbors. May the Lord open our eyes. And may the Lord give us the grace to recognize Him. Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth for those on whom His favor rests. So I wish you all a very happy Christmas. May the joy and the peace announced by the angels be yours. The peace of heart, the peace in the house. May His peace reign supreme in our hearts and in our society. And may His blessing be with us all forever and ever. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank You for sending Your Son to be born as a human being, a child, and laid in a manger, becoming our food, our life and light. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Spirit. Open our eyes to see You, Jesus, whenever, wherever You come to us. We make this prayer through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.